And all you people back in the Shire, turn your porch lights off because we're coming home with a trophy.
Welcome to this week's episode of Sharkcast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks, brought to you by Dyson Logistics. I am Sharks fanatic Newman, and I'm joined, as I am every week, by my fellow Sharks fanatic, Sydney singer-songwriter and good mate, Samuel. How you going, mate?
You're too kind, Newman, as usual. I'm doing okay. Thank you very much. Pleasure to be doing this again. Get in touch with us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we are on email. We are all over the world. Up, up, Cronulla. Let's get into it, Newman.
And the official records will read that the Sharks have been on a bit of a roller coaster since we last recorded an episode, going down to the Gold Coast Titans, 30 points to 10, but then prevailing over the South Sydney Rabbitohs, 26 points to 12, which leaves us in fourth position on the NRL ladder, which is a very congested NRL ladder, on 28 points, which is the same points as fifth and also the same points as third. So interesting couple of weeks, Samuel. We apologise. We haven't been here for a couple of weeks, but we're doing our very best.
As always, we're doing our best for ourselves and for all our listeners. Yeah, had a bit of a hiatus, which was out of our hands. We both live very busy lives, and when those lives kind of get tinkered with, everything else kind of goes out the window, and I guess you got to have your priorities and that kind of stuff. So, unfortunately, for lots of different reasons, we couldn't do the podcast, but we're back, which is the important thing.
There are things in life that are more important than podcasts, and they took priority, and that's probably where we'll leave it, eh?
I think I said that, but maybe you said it a bit better. Yeah.
Okay, so disappointing that we couldn't be here, but we are back.
Yes.
And I tell you what, it's the roller coaster of a year, isn't it? Up, down, down, up.
We're on the way back down. That's good. Manly did us a favour today by getting spanked by those Dastardly Dragons. We hung on to fourth spot, but let's rewind a little bit, Newman. Let's go up the coast, up to the Gold Coast. Torrential downpour. A pretty funky looking lineup, and boy, it was probably our worst performance in, well, this year at least.
Yeah, it was quite ironic because people were asking us what we thought was the worst performance of the last couple of years, and we were scratching our head saying maybe one against Manly or one against the Dragons. That was it. That was just terrible. The conditions were bad. There's no two ways about it. The field was a swamp. The amount of rain up there was incredible, but you know, both teams had to play in it, and we just didn't look that interested.
Didn't look interested, and also didn't adapt to that first half and the style that you need to play. They were keeping to their structures, and rather than just doing the one out stuff and get a good kick and chase, they were running their lines and angles, and I just thought it was way too complicated for that style of weather. But the second half, there were no excuses. The Titans wanted it better. They played better. And in his 150th game as coach, I was a bit disappointed in the lineup name, Newman. Luke Lewis on the bench, Fifita on the bench, Bird to 5'8". It was just, I don't know. I think in those instances after State of Origin, if the boys aren't ready, I'd rather see Captain America. I'd rather see the sort of fringe guys give 100%.
It's really hard to know, though, because you don't know the status of players when they come back from Origin. Like, I'm led to believe that Bird thought he was 100% okay, but then you saw the game he put in, and it's just like, you're kidding me. I was fuming at Jack Bird. That performance against the Titans was diabolical. It was terrible. I thought Val was pretty crook as well. You know, he seemed really flat.
Well, he played on the wing. That's what I mean by the coaching. I just thought, give them all the week off if they're not ready for whatever reason, and let the young guys or the older guys just
Five, you take five players out of any team, it makes life very, very difficult. I mean, I did sympathise with Flano a bit in that it was a difficult scenario. You got five players backing up. It was, I don't know, you play them all, you play half of them, you bench. No matter what you do, you're weakening strengths and you're putting noses out of joint. Luke Lewis wasn't fit, is what I'm led to believe, but he played
He
anyway.
had the flu and they sent him out in a hurricane.
Yeah, I know. So, it's just very difficult to without knowing the ins and outs of it all, the cards were always stacked against us. And in my view, if I was a betting man, the whatever odds the Titans were paying would have been pretty tasty, but what we dished up was not good enough. By any stretch of the imagination.
It just looked to me like a trial match. Let's put guys out of position and see how they go in case in the finals Maloney goes down or Val goes down. I just as soon as I saw the lineup, I went, "We're not going to win this." And
No.
that could cost us at the end of the year a top four spot. I'm not saying if the kind of fringe guys run out and play the full game, we win, but I dare say they would have tried a bit harder.
What sort of fringe guys are you talking about? Tagger played, New Brown played, Capel played. Who else do you are we talking about here?
Well, Captain America didn't get a run, I don't think from memory. I believe Lattimore didn't get a run. Just you could throw in Jesse Ramian, just some guy, I don't know, just some guys who look like they want to be there. But that was 2 weeks ago.
Just to jump in there, I spent some time with a couple of members, or I spent some time with some people who know what's happening down there, and I'm led to believe Jesse Ramian won't play first grade this year, no matter what he does.
Fair enough.
So you can basically forget about him.
Fair enough.
The whole dilemma around what's happening with James Maloney's hand is creating a selection headache, but
We'll get to that.
very much unlike last year, there are major selection headaches. Because the depth is sorely being tested. There seems to be a real divide and a real gap between our top 17 players and the ones that are below them, minus your Joseph Paulos, your Jeremy Lattimores. Those guys can step up and do a job for you, but a very difficult proposition in terms of the halves. Mainly to do with the fact that we're down so many number nines, but it's a difficult proposition for the coach. I do sympathise with him, and it's the wrong time of year for this to be happening. Now, if we fast forward 1 week from a diabolical performance against the Titans, we didn't play too well against the Rabbitohs, but we came home with the money. So, what did you make of that one, Samuel?
I wasn't overly unhappy with the performance. It wasn't flash, but I thought they played a solid enough game to never really be in doubt. Even when they were within 2 points of us, I wasn't really in fear of them. They're not a great team.
That's the only reason why I wasn't in fear of them. They were terrible.
Yeah, they were. They were. I mean, they got a little bit better once their offloads were sticking, and probably the third quarter of the game, so to speak, they probably looked their most dangerous. I thought it was a solid performance from the Sharks and a performance they needed to have so they can get the 2 points, roll on to the Warriors next week. I thought the back three were really good. I thought they were really safe. You can't always say that about our back three. I thought Beal was outstanding.
He's really good, wasn't he?
He was fantastic. I think he was close to man of the match.
Yeah, he was my man of the match. And just when you think like the guy should never see first grade ever again, all of a sudden I'm going, well, if we played him at fullback and put Val on the wing, it might not be too bad. But you just know that he'll put a stinker in.
Yeah, he's playing out of position, but he was fantastic. I thought the forwards were pretty good. They were dominant. Wade Graham was great, and it showed how important James Maloney is to this team. He was really good, and even when he busted his hand, he still set up a try towards the end, and he was clinical to us winning basically. So we're going to miss him, that's for sure.
Yeah, I really don't like the fact. If you're going to say to me, who is the player that we cannot afford to lose, I would have said James Maloney. And I think any fair judge would have said the same. of any player to go down injured for a couple of weeks. We can cover Gal, we can cover Louis, we can cover Val, we can cover Jack Bird. We really can't cover James Maloney.
It's not a hopeless situation, but it's certainly one we don't want to be in. And I guess we're hoping the recovery is, you know, sooner rather than later. So I haven't given up hope on anything, but it's pretty bad timing, that's for sure. What were your thoughts on the game? What impressed you? What didn't impress you?
I thought it was a really bad game from both teams.
Mm.
I think we should have won by 30, and we didn't, mm. and that's an indictment on us. I thought that neither side had any respect for the football. They were both teams were terribly ill-disciplined. Watching the game with my like blue, black and white eye, I'm thinking, God, the ref is giving us a hammering here. And then like I had my app up and I'm like, wow, it's been like 9 penalties or 10 penalties to each team. Mm. So there was like 20 penalties. It was just a poor performance. And late in the game, I said to my mate, whoever can complete 3 sets in a row here will win. And we went 1, 2, 3, rolled in a kick into the in goal, got a dropout, then we scored 2 tries. That was the game.
Yeah, but I mean, things like forcing dropouts, and I thought the kicking game was pretty decent. I thought there were some positives. Like, I didn't think we were completely bad, to be honest.
Okay, we won. We got the 2 points. Brilliant. We needed the 2 points, and it's a win in the draw. But in terms of, was it a semi-final level game? Absolutely nowhere near it.
Yeah, but we've shown this year, Newman, that until we play a semi-final game or team, we're not going to play that way. They've shown that every week.
I agree, but we're running out of time.
Well, as you pointed out to me, it's not going to happen. It's going to happen against big teams, and it's going to happen in semi-finals if it happens.
If. That's if. The thing, right? We've left it so narrow now, we're kind of skeptical whether we can turn it on or not. Maybe 6 to 8 weeks ago, we would have said, come on, this is a good side here. We can turn it on whenever we feel like it. I don't feel like that anymore.
Well, I just think attitude-wise, they will lift and improve just based on who they're playing. I think it's a terrible attitude to have, but they've been consistent in their inconsistency. So I was very happy to get the 2 points. Every game now is big. A couple of real tough ones and a couple that are very winnable, starting with this week against the Warriors. Great experience out there, Newman. I know you were...
I was on the road back from the snow, and I watched it in a country pub, and it was a great atmosphere, but much prefer to be at the big boy, the original SCGS, rather than sitting in a pub somewhere.
It was a great night. I got there pretty early. I watched most of the lower grades, which we'll get into in the news section, but really good crowd.
Now, I heard you met up with a couple of our long-time loyal listeners who travelled from some distance to come and watch the game.
I met lots of our listeners and viewers. But yes, I did get to hang out with Dana, which was wonderful. She was a great conversationalist. We had a great time. We hung out for probably maybe half an hour before the game. And it was cool just to put a face to the name and hang out for a bit and just chew the fat. So, yeah, hopefully we can hang out again soon. Also in the club afterwards, met a lot of people who listened to us. It was really lovely. I was made to feel very welcome by a bunch of people. So had a great time. But just the actual night was really great. Great atmosphere, good vibe.
It looked good on TV. I watched it on TV. It looks like there was a good atmosphere. And when we scored those 2 tries at the end of the game, it looked like the joint went off. So,
yeah.
You beauty.
Yeah.
I mean, we're very aware to not sound like those people on the Facebook groups that, you know, either blow up at a loss or, you know, lose our so-called shit. Mm. If we win, you know, we're trying to stay somewhat balanced, and it's really hard to get a read on the team this year, you know,
yeah.
Really poor performance. But then you can say we're Origin depleted and there's an Origin hangover and it's in the Gold Coast and it's raining and then, you know, a decent win. It's just hard to get a read on where we are. And I guess it probably shows you and I aren't that certain about how to predict what's going to happen.
I don't think you can, to be honest.
No.
I think about last year, I know we often always do, And not so much about player personnel and that kind of stuff, but the attitude last year was we can beat anyone, anytime, and we're going to do it. We'll go up to Newcastle and we'll win 62-0.
Yep.
We'll go, you know, go to Melbourne and do the very best we can. This year, it's just very different. And I understand why. It's a premiership hangover, which everyone talked about and I didn't believe in. But now I'm a firm believer in it. And they just have to overcome that. They can still overcome that. I'm definitely not without hope. And I think the positive thing for me was Newman, that first game post-Origin, so, you know, a week of training and that kind of thing, they put in an okay performance for me.
Well, all that rubbish of Origin is behind us.
Yep.
Right? That's finished. You know, and now when we finish the year, I think, what is there, six games to go?
Six or seven? Yeah.
We'll have our entire, you know, whoever's available and fit to play will be at training, and you'll be working on they'll be working on their combinations, and there won't be any more distractions in terms of that moving ahead, which I think for a team like us, and sadly a team like Melbourne, who are leading the charge this year, that plays into our hands, where, you know, a lot of other teams have sort of been able to sort of make ground on us.
Yep.
Because, you know, they don't have such an impacted Origin run. We have had an impacted Origin run, and that nastiness is behind us. So that's probably why we can't get a good read on what's happening.
Yeah, for sure.
And I know I keep harping on about it, but last year, Ben Barber and Mick Ennis weren't going to play Origin.
Right.
They were told they weren't playing Origin. Yeah. Right. So we had, not only were they gone players, they were there the whole way through, like sort of holding it together.
Yeah.
Now, Gal and Louis have been able to do that, but when you lose five players, it's so hard.
Absolutely correct. I guess we're just both hoping that we can not lose too many of the remaining matches and finish top four at the very least, and then that'll be a successful year going into the finals. If we're outside the top four, then it gets a bit trickier.
That looks difficult.
It does. Like, it does.
Where we're sitting on the ladder. I mean, let's talk about it now. Let's talk about this now. It's a bit of a free form podcast this week, Samuel. So we're currently sitting on 28 points, with a positive points differential of 79. But North Queensland are also on 28 points with 10 points behind us on the differential.
And we play them.
Yep. Brisbane are also on 28 points.
Also play them.
And then Manly and Parramatta, who's 6th and 7th, are on 26. And St. George Merge, Illawarra Drag Queens, are on 24 points. And then in 9th place, Penrith are on 22. So draw a line under that. Like, no one else is getting into the 8. I reckon that pretty much all of those positions are interchangeable.
Well, absolutely. I mean, a team could definitely fall from 4th to 8th, for example, or they could rise up.
You could fall from 4th to 9th.
You could.
Theoretically.
You could.
Well, 3rd. Brisbane are on 28 in 3rd. So between 3rd and 9th, that is completely interchangeable in my view. So I reckon we could finish as bad as 9th in an absolute nightmare scenario.
Mm-hmm.
We won't finish first, I can tell you that.
No, but we definitely could finish second, because we also play the Roosters at home. So if you win some of those games against those mob that you're playing, you're obviously going to increase your chances of finishing higher. There's two very winnable games, and that's Newcastle last round, which won't be, you know, it won't necessarily be easy, but you would think you could win that, and I personally think we can beat the Warriors next week.
Yeah, so let's look at the road ahead. We've got the Warriors at home. Now, we have a point to make about the Warriors game that we'll get into at the news. Then we've got the Raiders. You know, they're not playing well, but there's such a good rivalry. Brisbane away.
So that's the toughest game for me.
Cowboys away.
Mm-hmm.
And then Roosters, who were like in second.
Yep. And then Newcastle.
And then Newcastle. You could see anything happening. Like, nothing would surprise me. You'd like to think, right, that we could win. There's six games to go. If we could win three, we probably finish top four.
Well, I think that we should be aiming for at least four. I'm sure the club's aiming for six.
Yeah.
But I think Brisbane away is very tough, but also very winnable, but it's tough.
We haven't done so bad up there, really.
No, and I think we'll lift for the occasion. It's Gal's 300th as well.
Yep.
I think that the Cowboys game is very winnable in a tough venue. You know, Saturday night, all that kind of stuff up there. The Roosters game is going to be tough because they're, at their best, a pretty good team. But that's at home. It's our last home game. There should be reasons you win that game.
Yeah, and just looking at the Roosters run home, they've got Cowboys, Manly, Storm, Tigers, Sharks. So they don't have a particularly easy run either. Brisbane do have a quote-unquote easy run. They've got Parramatta twice, the Titans, us, and the Dragons.
Yeah.
So the only team, they don't play any team above them, then they only play, the only team within QE of them is us. So Brisbane have a good run.
I guess for me, Newman, at the moment is we're still going okay, and that if you keep winning the games you're supposed to win, you're going to be okay. If you can win them all, beautiful. I think when we start dropping consecutive games, which we haven't yet, I think that's when we start to worry about other teams.
Yeah, well, we shouldn't be worrying about other teams. And for, you know, the way things are going, you know, we've won 18 games this year. Sorry, we've played 18 games. We've won 12. We've only lost 6.
Yeah.
And you think if we can, if we keep winning at that rate, we sail into the top 4. Absolutely sailing.
Yeah, I personally want to finish second. Like, I, every morning I get up and I'm like, got to finish second. But I'm realistic and I'll take top 4. Anything below that is disappointing and going to be really hard to create some history, but long way to go, long way to go.
Long way to go. All right, Samuel, we could talk about it forever, but we're moving on and we're going to cut to a break. On the other side, we'll come back with the news. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies and with better service too because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467-233-153. That's 0467-233-153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference. Hey, Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294 321. That's 0424 294 321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Sharkcast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services.
They are dancing in the streets of Cronulla even now. From Carrickmore to Sutherland to Miranda.
Now it's come to the time of the show where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of the SCGS. The news, and the biggest news of the week is, Samuel, we have a party. Party!
Woo! Yeah.
Andrew WK, what does he say? Party until the lights do something. Run us through the details, Samuel.
Okay, so we've been doing our podcast for, I believe, a third season, but we've been doing Sharks TV for a second season, and this week will be our 50th 5-0 episode, which we're very proud of. What's going to happen is we're doing the show a day later on game day, so Friday, this coming Friday, recording Sharkcast TV live at 4:30 p.m. It'll be fun. And then at 5 o'clock, we will be in the locker room at Cronulla Sutherland Leagues Club, the sports bar, and we're going to be having our own little party, which every single person's welcome to come to, child-friendly, parent-friendly, grandparent-friendly, whatever you like. And that's going to culminate in a 6 o'clock viewing live, of course, of Cronulla v. the Warriors from Mount Smart Stadium. So essentially, we're having a party. You're all welcome. And then we get to watch the game together. And it's going to be awesome. So please, please come along if you can.
Now, there'll be drinks on. The club's putting a couple of drinks on. There'll be nibblies. There'll be giveaways. We'll do a bit of trivia. Sam's going to get up with his guitar and sing a song. We're going to collate a rock and roll playlist. It's going to be cool. It's going to be really cool. And if you don't come, I'm going to be upset. All right. So I'm really looking forward to Friday night, Sam, and I hope the boys can put in a big effort. Whoever doesn't make the trip over to New Zealand, I'm hopeful that they can come along too. There'll be a couple of ex-players there. It's going to be a really good night, so make sure if you love the Sharkcast TV or Sharkcast Radio, please come along, because without you, we would not be able to do this, and we want to say thank you to you people in person with a great shindig. And I'll tell you what, Sam and I, we know how to put a party on. Self-praise is no recommendation, but
that's true.
This is going to be good.
I mean, if you want to take the TV out of the equation, we're having a Sharkcast pod party is what we're doing.
100% correct.
Not that we necessarily want to take that out of the equation, but this is what it is, a Sharkcast party. Our friend Robbie Willis is going to be in the house, which is very exciting.
Yep. Scott Maxworthy, who is the producer of the show, and the TV show was his brainchild, brain's trust.
Oh, he's a brainchild, yeah.
Yeah, he was the one who came up with it. Hopefully Dougie, our original graphics man, is going to come. Ryan Selvage. Dane Wheeler, who sits in for me on Sharkcast TV. Donnie Rogers, who sits in for you. They're all going to be there. It's going to be awesome.
I'm hoping a whole bunch of the staff will hang around because, you know, it's a Friday. They'll be, you know, knocking up to watch the game. So come down. It's going to be a great atmosphere. Every single person is welcome. We're going to hammer you on social media about it. We'll stop talking about it right now, Newman, because...
One more thing.
Okay.
Captain America, if he doesn't get selected for the New Zealand game, he's told me he's going to come.
Hope he's there, to be honest, but playing.
Yes, I told him that too. I said I prefer that he goes to New Zealand.
Speaking of this, James Maloney.
Yep.
He's got a busted hand. He's out for probably 3 weeks, maybe four.
Minimum 3 weeks.
That's what I said, more or less. I saw it happen watching the replay today at work. It was right at the end of the game, right before he actually set up that last try for Ricky Latelli. So he's a tough kid, Maloney. He played on, but he's going to be out for a little while. What's happening, Newman? You're the coach. What are they doing?
If I'm the coach, I am putting Jack Bird into 5/8. I'm going to put... there's two things you can do, right? You can put New into 5/8 and play him there for 80 minutes. And then move Seguiar and then have a rotation of Seguiaro and Joseph Paulo, which I think is what would happen. The other option is to put Jack Bird in the 5/8, bring back Edric Lee, Capel, Edric Lee, Ricky Latelli, and Sasaya Feki in the back line. I don't think that's Flano's preferred option, but those are the two things that are on his plate, and it depends on Jack Bird's fitness, because it might even be the case that New Brown plays there and Jack Bird doesn't play at all because he's got some kind of flexor injury which is currently being managed.
My preference is for New Brown to play at 5/8. I'd probably give him a bit more of a range to do things. He's been pretty quiet in the 5/8 position, but I think at hooker he's been fantastic. Last week he was dynamite against Souths. I think if he can play more of his natural game within the systems and structures, I'd throw him the 6 and let Seggy and Captain America hook the game.
I'm going to say something controversial here, Sam.
Okay. Yeah.
Not a big Seggy fan.
Speak.
In terms of him being the number one hooker.
Mm-hmm.
I like him coming off the bench to add a bit of spark. But when he played like long minutes against Souths, it looked like he didn't know what he was doing.
Well, he's a bit ad-lib, I'll give you that.
like, he's more than a bit ad-lib. He was running around in circles. Like, he was...
I don't think it's controversial. He's definitely a really strong benchy. Like, he's an impact player. Like, I understand what you're saying.
I'm a fan of him coming. If it's Jaden Brayley playing like 65 minutes and Seguiaro playing 15, I love it. If it's Seguiaro playing like 40, anything more than 20 minutes, I'm not a fan of it. And I actually think we're better served with Joseph Paulo and a new Brown rotation. But I'm not the coach.
I'm just a bit wary of Jackson Bird at six at the moment. And it's not like I shouldn't trust him because he's done so much for the club in the short time he's been there.
He's gone backwards. I'm going to come out now and say it.
No, but I think his role is, it's almost like the Tyrone Peachy where you float around, you do magic stuff. You get your hands involved more than centre, but maybe not as much as 5'8".
His defence in the Titans game...
I know.
...was terrible. And he's done it many times now. There was a Canberra game, the game against Wigan... There are games where he's decided that he just can't defend anymore.
Yeah, it's attitude. He knows how to defend. That's the frustrating thing.
Yeah.
He's not one of those hopeless centers that doesn't know how to defend. He knows how to defend.
Yeah, he was terrible. And I just start, I watch him in games like that and I'm thinking, Brisbane paid $1 million for this guy? Good luck to him.
But we know he still has that talent and he's still pretty young. And I just, again, right or wrong, I think he just rises when he needs to. Game against the Roosters, he had a pretty good second half and dominated. I mean, I think when you count him out, he steps up, which is really annoying as a fan, really annoying. But yeah, I'm not sure if I'd throw him the number six this week if he was fit. Again, we're not the coaches, so we'll see what happens there, Newman.
Did he play six against Manly? When was the last time he played six? Because I'm trying to think when it was, but he was bad.
I don't have my info in front of me at the moment, my friend.
All right, write in sharkcastpod@gmail.com and correct this. But
someone just wrote in.
I think he played six against Manly when we got thumped, and he was terrible.
You know who's not terrible is Luke Lewis. Congratulations, 300 games. Fantastic effort. Fantastic man. And
big moment.
Got to say, Newman, the place wasn't the same without you, given the fact that you would give your left arm for this individual. And they did it really well. They celebrated his career really, really well. Have to say that straight up.
And it shows the esteem in which he is held. I was hopeful that he would win the Shark Cast Pog Unsung Cult Hero Medal this year, but to win that you need to be unsung, and I think he's been
maybe we can just give him another one, make another one.
Yeah, I mean, but the esteem in which he was held by the rugby league media shows what a good player he is, and I thought he played a good game. It looked like he was desperate for a try.
What about the old show and go from Bealey?
Yeah, I know. Wow. He was even like hiding out there on the wing to try and get a try on the wing. But
I got to say, he was more than hiding on the wing, my friend. He was out there for a long time in the second half. I think just, soaking it all up.
Great player. We're lucky to have him. My favourite shark. I'm almost going to put it out there and say he's my favourite shark of all time. But
okay,
congratulations, Louis. I think you're a champion. And
hang on. I think he's a champion too.
The club did a great job in tipping their hat to that milestone. Speaking of milestones, Paul Gallen, another year. He'll just keep going around. He'll be 55. And
against Brisbane, he's going to play his 300th game. Imagine Suncorp. They're going to be very happy experience that.
That's a little bit of serendipity for you. His favourite venue with his favourite crowd.
You're correct, though. He's signed for another year officially. It was long overdue. It was always going to happen, and now it has. You know what? Also, respect to him and the club for not overshadowing Luke Lewis's weekend, because they waited until that died down and then they released the information. So congratulations on that. And, he's playing out of his skin. He had a really good game on the weekend. And there's no reason to think he just can't, keep on keeping on.
Well, we've said it now, 100 times. He just knows his role. He does it with aplomb. The team is poorer with him out of it. He's a tough leader. You look at his head in the press conferences and he's beat up. And you just think, he's given so much to this club. So, That's great. It's fantastic. And Flano said that there'll be three players in our team with 300 games. That's Hino,
correct,
Luke Lewis, and Paul Gallant. And I remember going to a Metal League function maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and there was only like 10 players there of all time that have played 300 games. And we're going to have three in the one team. It's incredible. Yeah,
there's now, I think, 28 of them. But to have three in the team, in the one team that year is pretty cool. Newman, let's round out the news with lower grades. I'll take one grade, you take the other.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to see the NYC boys go around, and boy, they're a fantastic team. I walked in, and they were down 14-0 after about 15 minutes. Couldn't believe it.
Yep.
They finished the match 40-14.
They're going to win the call. They were big wraps around them.
Little Flano, I know we're all trying to keep it down. He was pretty good. He was pretty dominant.
Yeah, yeah.
The other half, was it Luke Metcalf? He was really good too. But as a team, they really just clicked, and it was a pleasure to watch, and I encourage everyone to get down and watch them. You were lucky enough to be at Henson Park.
Oh, mate, what a day. The Footy, Beer and Food Festival. Now, I know, I'll preface this by saying that I know that Newtown say that there are 8,296, is that the right number?
Something like that.
Every week, but, you know, that's an ongoing joke, and if I don't mention that joke, people are going to think I'm a noob who doesn't know what they're talking about. But there were like 5,000 people there yesterday.
Yeah, right.
And it was a beautiful sunny day, and they had like craft beer, like Shark Island Brewing were there, and Lucian and the boys were there. I had a couple of Shark Islands. Ooh, I had a burger from Lord Gladstone. They had, and you know, the Jets were on fire. They won like 40-10 against the New Zealand Warriors.
Unheard
and
of.
It was just an unreal day, like community day. The sun was out. There were people there with their kids, people there with their dogs, having a beer, like not getting blind, you know, sitting around having a nice beer, having something to eat, the face painting, jumping castles. And I'm looking at the NRL going, you guys don't know how to do it.
You tweeted
this. This is how you do it. This is how you engage people in Sydney. And it was a fantastic day. I did an interview for Newtown Jets TV with our mate Albie from Steel Sports. And it was just, it's just unbelievable. I think it's the benchmark for, like, when you leave out the top, you know, NRL, AFL, top line cricket and all that, for the lower grades, the Newtown Jets are the absolute benchmark. And I tip my hat to them. Well done. And the Sharks are lucky to be involved with them.
The Jets are a pretty legendary club. Did any Sharks play in the game that you care to talk about?
There was plenty of Sharks merchandise getting around. Big Sam, Dagatayizi, friend of Sharkcast TV and radio, scored 2 tries.
Did he?
Had an absolute stormer.
Cool.
And Joseph Paulo, Captain America, he also played. He played a blinder. He kicked like 6 goals. he set up 3 tries. It was awesome.
Oh, that's good. That's good news.
And Jesse Ramian played really well. He played strong. My mail on him is he needs to get used to playing against the quote-unquote big boys. Mm-hmm. And other than that, that was the only Sharks on display. The rest were all Newtown Jets guys.
Okay.
But a great day out, and it keeps their finals hopes alive. Faint hope.
Yeah. It wouldn't have hurt the for and against, I guess. So, everyone get in touch with the sharkcastpod@gmail.com. And just to round out this news again, if you're free this Friday, Cronulla Sutherland Leagues Club in the locker room, which is basically just a fancy word for a little sports bar at the back, we're going to be hosting and showing the Sharks v Warriors game live. We're going to be hanging out from 5 o'clock, eating nibblies, drinking drinks, and being on our best behavior, playing some rock and roll maybe over the PA, and just come on down. It's going
to
be fun.
So we're going to cut to a break. When we come back into the side, we'll have the letters and we'll preview the game against the Warriors. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Hey, Newman, it's my turn to bring the beer around for our next podcast. What sort of beer do you want?
You know me, man. I only drink beer from the Shark Island Brewing Company.
That's the craft brewery in the heart of the Shire, right?
Sure is, mate. They have a cellar door at 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee. Open Wednesday to Saturday for tastings with weekly food trucks and awesome tunes. You can also get their beers at Gaimere Pub, Northies, the newly opened Prince, along with a bunch of other venues in Sydney. It's 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee.
Don't forget that special edition Sharks Premier's Lager. It tasted so good. Go on Facebook, search Shark Island Brewing. Support the Shire's own brewery, Shark Island Brewing Company. It's beer with bite.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spare. Got to get back.
And now it's coming to the time of the show where we go out the front of Sharkcast Pod headquarters and see what the little sharky who rips around the neighborhood on a high-vis motorbike has dropped into the slot. You can get us at sharkcastpod@gmail.com, or we are on Facebook, Twitter, and Insta with the handle @sharkcastpod. Now, Samuel, you have a little shark tooth-shaped envelope opener there. What's the first one you're going to rip the top off there, my friend?
We have Paul from Kareela. A couple of really good points. First of all, we want to praise Gerard Beale for his performance the other night against South Sydney. Cracking kick return, crucial runs, steady in defence, and a try to put the icing on the cake. I completely agree. We discussed that a little bit before, Paul, but that you're very correct. Especially dummy half around the middle, sort of tackle two and three. He was making sort of 20, 25 metres at a time. So very astute there, Paul. Your other point, 12 wins from 18 games is a healthy record. You discuss the draw and you say that the Warriors and Canberra games are vital, so we can then move on to the Queensland games, knowing that should we drop one or two, it won't be the end of the world. Very astute, Paul. Thank you very much for your communication. We appreciate it.
Sensible appraisal. You don't get too much of that on the Facebook groups, but at Sharkcast Pod, it comes in spades. We also got an email from Stephen, and Stephen is from Sharks Forever, one of the best forums on the web. Those guys, legends, oh, yeah. Fitz started that up. I love that forum. I'm not that active on there, but I love reading it, and it's a great place to go.
Did you say Fitz started that up?
Yeah, it's Fitz's, okay. Fitz's place.
I may have put that out of my memory, but that's pretty handy to remember now.
And Stephen says, how, guys, how about a Where Are They Now segment each episode or once a month? Will be great to know what some of our past players are up to these days. Keep up the good work. Now, that's a great idea.
I think it could be a bit of a summer podcast, maybe.
Maybe if you come to the party on Friday, we could start with someone who's going to be in attendance there.
Okay.
I won't say too much more.
Okay.
All right, Sammy, we've got a game this weekend, 6 p.m. kickoff. Friday night against the New Zealand Warriors. Everybody will be in the locker room celebrating our 100th episode of Sharkcast Radio and 50th episode of Sharkcast TV. We're all going to be in the same place, so we're not going to spend too much time previewing it. Got to win. They're hopeless. We're good. We're down Maloney. I don't even know who plays for them.
They're down Sean Johnson. It's pretty even.
Oh, wow.
So we should, when I say even, like you take each
out. We're
both
missing big players.
Yeah. Yep. You know what? You've just got to say it. If the Sharkies are fair dinkum, which we think they are, they'll win this match. The conditions won't be great again. It shouldn't be as bad as the Gold Coast, but it'll be wet and windy. They just need to win. They've got a fairly good record there in the last 10 years, and they're going along okay. They haven't lost consecutive games, and even though we're a bit glum sometimes about them because we feel like they should be winning better and maybe more often, they're still going pretty good. And
yeah, well, as our letter writer, who wrote the letter?
It's Paul.
Paul?
Yeah.
Paul. Paul said 12 out of 18. It's a great result.
Yeah. So I think we will win, and I think the experience will win us this game. I really think the experienced guys will step up.
Really relieves the pressure valve to another win. One more win.
Yeah.
Keeps us up there. Yeah, takes the pressure off some more quote-unquote must-win games. So I'm going to put a prediction in, Samuel, and say I reckon we'll get up by 13+.
Ooh.
What about you, mate?
Yeah, I don't mind, Matt. I think, yeah, between 12 and 20, hopefully. I know it's a big call because usually we do play pretty tight, but I just think they're there to beat. I think you take Johnson out of that team and they're really deflated. So there's no excuses. It'll be interesting to see what the lineup's going to be like for Cronulla, and it might not be finalised until an hour before kickoff, but
won't be, no.
But the thing is, if you're hanging out with us, you will be the first to know. You'll be at Cronulla's club. You'll be with our friend Rob Willis, who does the media team list.
Yep.
I was with him last week and I heard that Jack Bird was not playing. I wasn't allowed to tell a soul, but this time we can tell anyone we want. It'll be official. So come down and get all the goss from Rob Willis.
All right. We will see you there. And in the meantime, as we say every single week,
come on, Sharkies, back to back. Let's make history times two. Newman, love you, brother.
Love you. Up the Sharks.
Up the Sharks.
Sharks, Sharks, forever.